If you love tossing dice, making notes on your character sheet, and you may or may not have tried to bribe your game master, maybe this is a podcast for you. You're listening to Sounds Like Roll, an RPG podcast. And now, let's begin. Hi everyone, my name is Dread Stein. You can call me just Dread, and this is the first episode of the first season of Sounds Like Roll. So welcome, and I really, really, really hope that you like it. Before I even start this very first episode, I think that you can easily notice that English is not my native language, but I'm learning, I'm trying to improve. So if you can hear some or many grammar errors, please forgive me. I'm trying, okay? Okay. Well, in this podcast, or at least in this first episode, this episode will be devoted to new players or people that want to know about this stuff, or even devoted to all-time players that want to share and compare some insights. As you can imagine, this podcast will be entirely be consisting of RPG-related stuff. And even the seasons, this podcast will be divided in seasons, so it's easy to navigate through all the episodes. The first season will be dedicated to tabletop role-playing in general, like tabletop role-playing games 101, if you want to say it like this. So the first topic of this episode will be about what is exactly and a tabletop RPG, and how do I explain it to someone that doesn't know what it is, what is a tabletop role-playing game, and even in how many ways are to explain it, because probably most of you have found yourself in the situation to where you are trying to explain this hobby to another person, and this person seems to have no clue of what you are talking about, or maybe you are interested in RPGs and were looking for information in internet and found yourself listening to this weird and new podcast. Well, this episode maybe is right for you. Okay. So now, in the first section of this chapter, I will give you my view of how to explain in a easy and fast and concrete way what a tabletop RPG are, because many people say that that RPGs are a storytelling dynamic. How do you say it? You have to help me with this language thing. I'm learning, okay? Or so people say that it's kind of a theater of the mind, or that RPGs are playing with your imagination with a group of friends where you create a story as a team effort. But I don't know about you, but I think that those type of explanations are too philosophic to explain a tabletop game. Like, you really want to explain these things in an easy manner. Or if you are trying to look for information to understand what it is, and you are listening to me now trying to get an answer, I will try to give you an easy answer, okay? Because sometimes we want to share this awesome hobby and we don't know how to explain it to our friends when you want to create, to form a new group of players. This is the main difficulty. So this is how I usually explain tabletop RPGs to other people. And I do like this. First, a tabletop RPG game is a tabletop game. Duh. Like, this is very obvious, but many people tend to say that this is more than a tabletop game, that this is something very deeply inherent to the human beings and social interactions and storytelling, and that's all true, and I will be talking about this later, but I think that is, like I say, too philosophical. You don't want to explain your PhD on RPGs to newcomers. Like, you want to make it simple. And RPGs are just tabletop games, with the difference that you just use a book, some paper sheets, and some dice, and that's all. So what's the easy explanation? I think that the easy way to explain it is to explain or to tell how a usual session of RPG goes, and it's like this, like, you have a bunch of players, a bunch of friends, you want to play with a group of friends, right? And one of the players is the, what we call the game master, or the game director, or even the dungeon master, because one of the games used that term. Each game, each different tabletop RPG game, invents a new name. Actually, there's an actual term, that concept that I really like, that is storyteller, from the games of White Wolf, and now it's Moebius, something like that, the publisher, I don't know, but it's storyteller, and it's a very good one, because you are actually storyteller, one of the players at least. And the rest of the players, they are, they control each one a single character of this story that the game master is telling. Just like video games, RPGs, when you use just one character and you control it. So, the GM, the game master, describes what the characters are experiencing, what they see, what the other characters of the world that are not the players are doing or saying, or what the characters controlled by the players can hear and where they are. It's like the computer of the video game. I don't know if you can you follow me. And also, this game master describes the outcomes of the decisions of the players, and he controls the game rules. And because these games have rules, and those rules describes the outcomes of the uncertain decisions. Like, for example, a usual game goes like this. The game, probably they imagine that they are playing Dungeons and Dragons, the first RPG game. It's this classical game about dragons and wizards and warriors and stuff. A fantasy game. So the players are like, I don't know, an archer, a barbarian, and a wizard. So the game master says, okay, you are in the middle of the woods and you are traveling to this mystical mountain and you encounter a pack of wolves, for example. And there are three wolves and they look very angry and they want to attack you. So the players goes like this. Maybe the wizard say, or I mean not the wizard, the player that is using this wizard character, say, okay, I want to throw, I don't know, a fireball to these walls, because in my character sheet, that is one thing that is you can find in any RPG, it says that I have this power. So I want to use it, I want to throw a fireball to the walls. So the game master asks the player to make a dice roll, to toss some dices and use some rules of the game to see if he succeeds or she succeeds. So if the wizard succeeds with his or her attempt to throw this fireball, this magic power, the game master describes that situation and he or she says something like, okay, your character throw this fireball and the fire lands on one of the wolves and the wolf dies and now there's only two wolves. Okay, the rest of the players, what do you do now? And the games go on, goes on and goes on. And obviously the game master had planned before a whole adventure for the players. It's like the players are controlling characters in a movie. And the game master is the director, and the game master knows the script, but he or she doesn't tell it to the players, right? So you could say that the usual RPG video games are a digitalized and automated version of the traditional pen and paper RPG games. And actually, it's like that. Like the RPGs in video games are based on these tabletop RPGs that exist since the, I think, 70s or something. In a later episode, I will talk about the history of RPGs because it's very interesting. It's very interesting. Now, there's a very important thing that I would like to point here, because as you can see, in just like 5 minutes or so, I explained in a very basic way what a tabletop RPG game is. And I did it in a very basic way because different people have different interests. like people have interest in different things, different type of things. Maybe someone that is listening to you is interested in the storytelling part of the games, or some other person is interested in the social aspect of the RPGs games. That is a very important aspect of these games. Or maybe some other person is interested in the concept of slay monsters and gain new powers for his or her character or something. So when you start with the basics, without going to any very deep transcendental ideas of the games, you can see what are the priorities of the person that is listening to you. I mean, if you give this very basic explanation, it's a way of describing the game, very practical. Like, you make the person imagine a piece of a session of a game. So this person then will answer to you or will make some questions. And if the person says, oh, this is very interesting, and so the game master have written a story, a whole script for all the game, how it goes. So you know that this person is interested in the storytelling part. So you start talking, you start telling about this part, that part of the game. Because RPGs involves several different aspects of the human experience. So you have to, I think that you should pay attention on the interests of the person that is listening to you and explain RPGs from that focus, from that point of view. See? Because that way, the person in front of you will show interest, will understand what you are talking about, because you are talking about things that this person thinks are things that are important. And this person will not say, I don't know, why are you talking to me about so many numbers and dice? Because probably this person doesn't have interest on that. See? Okay. But it's not that simple. So I want to talk to you about some anecdotes or things interesting things about this, because for example, this is a way that I use to explain RPGs to a relative of mine that is a very old person, and he totally understood that the RPGs, and I say to him this: imagine an old-timey storyteller sitting in front of a fire, like a campfire, with four or five people listening to him. And now imagine that the people that is listening can decide what the characters of the story do at the same time the storyteller tells the story, making the story dynamic. For example, give him some example about a situation like I said before. And then I said, now add some tabletop game rules to help deciding the outcomes of certain type of actions. And I give him an example. And that is it's different. It's a different way, because I didn't describe a usual RPG session. I describe a scene that is very familiar to any person, like an old-time storyteller sitting in front of a campfire. Everyone can imagine that. So that's you can explain the same very, very basic thing in different languages, like in using different, I think that the word I'm looking for is tropes, like classic situations that everyone knows, because you know, RPGs are very easy to understand when you can imagine them, because it's a very, it's a type of game that where you use your instincts to play. It's not a very, it's not, RPGs are not artificial games. Yeah, I think you understand what I'm trying to say. Trying to synthesize all of this, I think the best way to explain it is in a simple way, like using this KISS method, that means keep it simple, stupid. Why? Because each person have different interests, as I said before, and starting by the most basic concepts, let them guide their discovery process, like personal discovery process, through stuff that they like. Like, as I say, if the person listening likes the imagination part, you can tell her or him more about that, or maybe about creating characters, or maybe about the social aspect. I repeated it myself. Yeah, I think you understand perfectly what I'm saying. And obviously, this is the bottom line. The best way ever to show RPGs to other people is inviting them to play a session. Or if you are interested in start playing and you and your friends don't know how to, just try. Like, buy a manual book of an RPG, or download a free one. There's tons of different RPGs out there. Or actually, you can buy one of those starter packs that there is right now. Actually, D&D, like this very famous tabletop RPG game, is offering now a starter pack. I don't know if it's pack, maybe it's starter box or something, that is a very cheap box with part of the manual, enough to play several sessions, like to get your characters to level, I think, 5, just as the video game RPGs with levels and stuff. And this box have everything you need. I think that the box even have some dice, I think. But if no, dice are very cheap and you can find them easily everywhere. Or if you can't find them, you can buy them online and are very cheap. And actually, there are several free apps for smartphones that simulate dice. But I think that the experience of tossing dice is... You can copy that experience in a smartphone. You have to have dice. It's a basic thing. And some sheets and some pen and some pen to write, right? Because you know what? You have to try it because it's actually quite easy. I would say that RPGs are the most easy but more complete tabletop games that exist. I mean, tabletop RPG games are complete in regards that they involve the social aspect, the imagination aspect, the problem-solving aspect, teamwork, and a lot of stuff. That's why you can find another RPG podcast that have like hundreds of episodes of different stuff. But at the same time, RPGs are very easy to start playing. It's very easy, trust me. But now, how to explain it? This is a very interesting question because I think that you maybe have encountered this situation before. How to explain RPGs to people that have this, this is so geek or nerd kind of prejudice against any type of game that exists outside a screen? Because I think you encountered them. Or maybe you are one. Maybe you have heard about RPGs before and you think, oh, those things are so geek, but I want to learn more about it because I'm very curious. How do you pronunciate that? Curious. Ah, please help me in the comments in social media. Well, first, I would say that you have to understand these people. You have to understand why they think the way they think, right? First of all, I think that there are three main aspects in this regard. Three myths, if you want to say so. First, he or she thinks that RPGs are for introverts or people that doesn't know how to socialize, okay? This is one of the most famous myths that there is. The second one is that he or she thinks that RPGs, role-playing games, are games for very smart people. Like, you have to be a nerd genius to play them, okay? This is, I think, the second most famous prejudice. And they also think, I think, that you have to use like costumes, like cosplaying, and act like they show it in some comedy TV shows, right? If you are someone looking for information about RPGs, probably you think that you have like to cosplay to play it. Let me tell you, all of those things, those things and more are just myths, okay? Let me explain to you how it goes, actually. By the way, I don't know if you can hear my chair. It's a wooden chair. I promise I will change it, but this is my first episode, so please bear with me. Okay, I think that it's very important to address those myths in a simple way. Like, for example, the one about that the RPGs are for introverts or geek people, okay? RPGs, actually, are the most social games there is. It's an intrinsical, how's the word? Social game. The interesting part is that RPGs are also very welcoming to introverts. So, they can play them too, and even learn how to interact better with the rest of the group, thanks to the rest of the group. So, introverts tend to play a lot of RPGs because it's very easy to them to learn how to socialize while playing those games. But that doesn't mean that RPGs are made for introverts. I don't know if you can understand that difference. It's like a logical process, right? Because actually RPGs are absolutely social games. You have to socialize to play them. And if you are an extrovert, you have like double the fun playing them. I consider myself in many aspects, not every aspect, but in many aspects an extrovert. And I really enjoy RPGs, trust me. The second one about the game is for like geniuses. Like, how do you call this in school? The kid that used to sit in the front row and he was like the brain of the class. And this myth goes about that RPGs are for those type of people. I mean, those type of people will enjoy RPGs. But actually, tabletop role-playing games are extremely easy to play games. Really, it's probably the most easy tabletop game there is. You can sit at a table and start playing without ever seeing any rules before. Actually, it's the game master, the GM, that has to learn all the rules before starting to directing a game. And you will then end up learning the rules while playing without making any effort. I think that any other tabletop games is far more hard to learn than RPGs. Actually, I think that I never in my life have ever played a specific tabletop RPG game learning the rules before playing. That doesn't make any sense. That does make sense. It's very useful to do that. But I think like 99% of RPG players, when they played a game for the first time, they didn't know anything about the game. They just show up to the session, sat at the table and said, okay, I want to play this. And the game master said, okay, there's your character sheet, let's play. And that's it. RPGs are very easy to play games. Really, really easy. And about the cosplay... Okay, no, God, please no. You don't have to cosplay or act like your character. Obviously, there are people that love to put a special voice to their characters when they are speaking for them in the game. Like in these very famous streaming shows of people playing RPGs like Critical Role or LA by Night. Those guys, usually they are actors. So they really know what they're doing and they do it perfectly. And there are a lot of RPG players that also enjoy putting some voice to their characters. And that's very fun to watch. It's awesome to have those guys in your table, but it's not mandatory at all. It's not necessary. You can say, my wizard say, how's the phrase? You shall not pass, like the guy in The Lord of the Rings. But you also, and it's the most usual way to do it, you just say, okay, my character says that they shall not pass in a very epic way. And that's it. You can do it like that way. I mean, 80% of the people do it that way. And that's fine because acting is not a necessary part of the game. And cosplay is out of the picture. I mean, maybe in some events, like conventions about RPG games or hobbies in general, people go with a costume, like cosplaying. And when they play an RPG game, they don't take their costumes off. But it's not necessary at all. You can go in pajamas to play RPGs. It's perfectly fine. And about the voice, so you can understand with an example, you don't talk like a capitalist pig when you play Monopoly, are you? So it's the same, so don't worry about that, okay? Well, and going to another point about RPGs, or important points to point, to explain it to other people, I would emphasize a lot that RPGs are particularly fun games to play. I mean, really fun. Like, people sometimes play a single session during 4 or 5 hours, or even 12 if you want. I did that before. Only because they are having so much fun that the time flies. And trust me, it's true. It's true. When you play RPGs, time really flies. That's why people play for hours. It's not because you have to, because you could play like 20 minutes and say, okay, let's continue in the next week, and the games can continue. The game can continue the next week, and nothing happens. There's no any rule for that. But it's impossible to play 20 minutes. It's impossible. You really have a great time playing, and time really, really, really flies. What else? Also, there's a very interesting part that I would like to point, that I mentioned before that you can find thousands of RPGs, and it's true. And the very nice part of it is that there are specific RPGs for everyone, like literally for everyone, literally. You can play the most famous one, like Dungeons and Dragons, about Dungeons and Dragons, or Vampire the Masquerade, an RPG based on the novels of Anne Rice and other authors about vampires in the current time, like in the city where you're living. Or Cyberpunk, about this dystopian, I think, sci-fi future where humans have like cybernetic implants and have very, very stylish adventures in awesome city and stuff. Or even some indie games, like one I read about a couple of weeks ago, and I was like amazed, that it's called Night Witches. That it's about a Soviet night bomber regiment in the World War II, composed entirely by women, I didn't play that yet, because I heard about a close friend of mine that he was game mastering, GMing this game back in my country. It sounds interesting. But okay, I'm getting distracted. There's a game for everyone. Actually, there's one called, I think, Mouse Guard, that is like D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, but you play with mice. Literally, you are a mouse with a sword. I mean, there's games for everyone. You can find even My Little Pony games or Resident Evil games. The thing you can imagine, there's a RPG game for that. So there's for everyone. There are games for everyone, really. And actually, I would like to point, I suppose to talk about the next episodes at the end of the episode, but I think this is important. In the following episodes, we'll dig deeper in the human aspect of RPGs and what makes them so insanely popular right now. And important for many players, like for many people, like for me, obviously, RPGs have an important place in their lives. And that's true, that's true. Mostly because the incredible social aspect of the game. It is based entirely on group interactions and how fun it is to play them, game that exists in the storytelling human aspects connects directly with one of our more intrinsic instincts. Like I said, you can find specific RPGs about anything you want, and that makes RPG players so diverse. You can find among them, like, the classic nerd, of course, a businessman, the captain of the school football team, or Instagram obsessive party girl, or a PhD level scientist, or many Hollywood actors. Actually, I have a list right here. I will tell you about that in a minute. Or anything. You can find any type of player. It's amazing. I think that RPG community, there's not an official community, but if you put all the RPG players together, this community, in quote marks, is called, I think it's one of the most diverse communities there is. Or at least now, nowadays. And I will talk about the days past, like the how it was back then in the next episodes, because it was different. Now, everyone has different experience in RPGs, and for many of us, RPGs have had some influence in our lives, really. I mentioned a few seconds ago that there are a lot of famous people, like a lot of Hollywood stars that play RPGs, because this thing about RPGs being in the mainstream media is something recent. So a lot of people started to appear in interviews or in social media saying, hey, I used to play RPGs a lot, or I'm a big fan of RPGs. And you can find names like, for example, Joe Manganiello, the actor from that interprets, it's not Deadpool, the original one, the Deathstroke from DC, or he was in True Blood also, in the TV series. He's a hardcore fan. Like, he has a basement in his house devoted to RPGs. Like, this guy is awesome. Deborah Ann Woll, she was in True Blood and also in Daredevil, in the Daredevil TV series. She's an awesome actress. And she said that she discovered RPGs in the current times, and she's a fan now, like a big fan. Marilyn Manson also said that he used to play a lot of RPGs before. Felicia Day, she even appears in some streaming RPG shows. Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays RPGs, but he's more of a fan of Magic the Gathering, these strategic card games. I have some of these cards from my childhood, but I never played that. Never played them so much, actually. Drew Barrymore play RPG games. Patton Oswalt. Stephen Colbert, we knew about him because he always brag about how an expert he is about Lord of the Rings. But now we know that he's also a hardcore fan of RPGs, role-playing games. Vin Diesel, this isn't a mystery. He used to talk about it like many years ago. So, Vin Diesel, Terry Crews. There's a episode of Critical Role where they invite them to play a Warcraft themed Dungeons and Dragons games, and he's so fun. It's so fun watching him play. You should look for it in YouTube. Mike Myers also is an RPG player. Robin Williams used to play RPGs. There was an interview somewhere. I don't have the link here to see the text, but he said that RPGs were a part of his life, so that's awesome. And many more. Nowadays, that RPGs are popular, I don't know, this is very crazy, but RPGs are very popular. There's a lot of people saying that, hey, I play RPGs too, and that tells us that a lot of people hid that before. And I will tell you an anecdote about that, about myself. I haven't said anything about myself until now, but okay, I need to share something. In my case, I started during high school, but the first time I played an RPG game were many years before, when I was like 7 or 8 years old, I think, with my older brother. He was the GM and we played AD&D, the second edition. That game was the first tabletop RPG game that hit some bookstores in my country at that time. So that was the first RPG game for many of us there. And later, with some classmates we started in high school, we started playing Vampire the Masquerade. And this is the interesting part. The fun part, interesting part, was that my best friend and me, and he is my best friend now even, but back then, we have a very particular characteristic in common. We never think that something is like too geek or too nerd or anything. We speak about any subject like how it is. For us, talking about, sports or RPG are equally cool, if you know what I mean. So, at that time, the rest of the class, never heard about RPGs before. So, they never noticed that this interesting game that we were playing was considered nerd by many people. So, for them, as we explained it to them, it was only a cool tabletop game. Just a very different tabletop game, and that's it. And almost everyone in class, almost everyone wanted to play with us. It was crazy. It was absolutely unusual. And I think easily half of the class played at least one session with us. And what I want to say is that RPGs are not less nerdy than before because RPGs are mainstream now. RPGs are less nerdy because what makes something nerd is how you present it. Like, at that time, in my school, RPGs were a cool game because nobody noticed that outside that school, RPG were geek. So it's very relative. It's something that is not so true, actually. Nowadays, for example, nobody says that watching a TV show about dragons and wizards and warriors is nerd. Like, everyone watched Game of Thrones, right? Nobody says that watching movies about superheroes fighting against evil aliens is nerd. Like, everyone's love Marvel, Disney movies right now. See what I'm saying? Like, what was geek before now is cool. That's the main difference. Also, another thing. Okay, listen, if you are not a geek but recently found yourself interested in RPGs, or you are maybe an all-time player that found yourself in this new world where RPGs are no longer something geek, have you thought about everything I mentioned before? Isn't this a very interesting phenomenon? Because for me, it's very interesting, and that's why I started this podcast. That I really hope that you are enjoying. I mean, this is my first experience recording one of those things, so sorry if it is a little bit chaotic or not so organized. I will try to record better and better episodes, okay? And in order to do that, to have a more close connection with you and to receive all the feedback you want to send, that will be awesome. Let's connect in social media. You can find a brand new Facebook page about this podcast in Facebook if you look for Sounds Like Roll. Just like that. That's the name of the fan page. In Instagram, you can find me now at Roll for Dread. Like Roll, R-O-L-L, for Dread, for me. And you can listen to this podcast where you are listening right now, or Spotify, or Apple Podcast, or Google Podcast, many more. Like, it's being distributed everywhere. And about the next episode will be about the main tabletop RPGs and the indie ones. So I will give to you like a menu to choose between many RPGs, and I will talk about the differences and which one is better for you and how to select one and everything. Okay, so I hope you like this very, very first episode. It's almost like a pilot, how do you say it? The first one. You can call me Dread, and you will be listening to Sounds Like Roll, an RPG podcast. Until next time.